Hey CCF, welcome to CCF Church Online. We're so glad that you're here on this Vision Sunday. We're excited about what God has done, and we're excited about what God is going to do. And if you are new here, we would be even more excited if you would connect with us by filling out that connection card. So look for the link on whatever platform you're watching on, fill that out, and even more important, would you let us know how we can serve you by either praying for you, and there's a specific question on how can we pray for you. And in that same box, if you could put how can we serve you, like maybe there's some need in your life, we would love to come alongside of you and serve you however we can. Well, here today, we are going to continue our teaching series called Life-Giving Words. And you know, we need life-giving words right now at this moment in time in our history. And I hope that you will turn your attention to the life-giving words that come from the scriptures. In fact, today, what we're going to do is look at the life-giving words from Jesus, and we're actually going to look at his last words. We're going to see how much life actually comes from there. But to do that, to help us to start thinking about that, I wanted to bring you down to one of our favorite places that my family loves to go to every Columbus Day in October. We come down to Scituate, and we go to the Scituate Art Festival. And right behind one of the churches here is a graveyard. And here, if you just take a scroll through here, it's interesting. Have you ever done this? Have you ever walked through an old historical cemetery and you're looking at the tombstones, just reading some of the inscriptions that are written there? Like some of them just say private, you know, or commander, and that he gave his life for his country, and they put the year. Some have Bible verses on them. One of the tombstones here actually says this. It says that this is in honor of our son who gave his life for his country, but his body is in Europe. But then I come to this grave site. I come to the Spencer family. The Spencer family is actually connected to one of our elders, Stephen Hutchins. Steve Hutchins is great-grandfather is buried right here. This is where I'm standing. Milton K. Spencer. His tombstone inscription is simple. It just has his name, and then it has 1905 to 1971. But then, just as you would look at other tombstones and wonder the history of that person, wonder maybe what their last words might have been. So I asked Steve, I said, Steve, tell me the story of your great-grandfather. And he says, you know, it's actually a rich story. It's actually one of a Christ follower. He went to a gospel teaching church in Providence, and there he lived out a Christ follower's life. Steve enumerated many ways that he lived this out, that it just wasn't, you know, a go to church on Sunday, that he actually lived it this way. And do you know one thing that was really cool, that was exciting, was that he helped lead their worship team. He actually was a tremendous trumpet player. And so we would be talking about Maggie's great-great-grandfather that was a trumpet player for a gospel-centered church, helping to lead worship in his church. And Steve said that it was known that he was a very well trumpet player. I just want you to think about that for a second. Think about what Maggie does now for our church and how she leads, and how her great-great-grandfather led their church in the same way. Isn't that so cool? But you know what else? Steve shared with me what they believe to be his great-grandfather's last words to his son. He was in the ICU at Rhode Island Hospital, and it was in the month of December. And Christmas was just a couple of days away. And Mr. Spencer said to his son, I'll be coming home on Christmas. And you know, his son thought about that and they went home. But of course, Mr. Spencer meant I'll be going back to my physical home. Little did Mr. Spencer know that he was actually speaking that he'll be going home all right, that it would be on that day, on December the 25th, that he would actually leave this place here, that he would actually leave his body and go to be with the Lord. Because that's the day that he actually passed away. Those were his last words. I want you to think, what do you want your last words to be? Have you ever thought about what your last words might be? Well, what I want us to do is I want us to take the scriptures, I want us to take the Bible, and I want us to go to Matthew chapter 28. And I want us to see from an eyewitness account the last words of Jesus. And this ties right into our vision and our mission for our church. This explains everything for why we do what we do, as we pay attention, as we lean in to the last words of Jesus. But hey, I want us to go back in to the church, and we'll dive in to the scriptures and to the teaching there. So let's look at the words of Jesus, these life-giving words this morning. And here's his life-giving words for all of us. And here's Jesus' last words. It says, go and make disciples. And then he says, I am with you always. We're going to unpack these words in just a minute, but before we do, I want you to keep in the forefront of your mind our bottom line for today. Here's our bottom line. Our bottom line is this: living on mission is life-giving for all. Living your life on mission, it's actually life-giving for you, but it's life-giving for all of those around you. So let's jump into the scriptures where these last words of Jesus come from, where these life-giving words come from. It's Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Take your Bibles. You know, if you have a hard copy, turn there. If you've got it on your Bible app, open it up. I want you to see this. I want this to resonate deep within your soul. Because remember, I want you to lean into this as these are actually Jesus' last words to you. Because think about this. If you were sitting at the bedside of somebody who you knew were speaking their last words to you, you would lean into that. And that's what I'm calling you to do this morning. I think about this. You know, 6 months ago, Barry Sullivan spoke his last words to me, but I didn't know it was his last words. I remember walking out of his hospice room there, and he says to me, hey, Rick, I'll see you on the other side. And I turned and looked at him and was like, Barry, don't be silly. I'm going to be back. I'm going to see you tomorrow. But little did I know that there would be no tomorrow for me to connect with him, because those were his last words. Had I known that those were his last words, I would have leaned much heavier. I would have held on to him much longer. And that's how I want you to see these words, that these are the last words of Jesus for you and for me. So let's hear them. I'm going to read through both of these verses in their entirety, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now let's go back and let's look at these life-giving words, these last words, but life-giving. He tells us, he looks at those 11 disciples, and there are probably other Christ followers around there listening in as well. But he looks at them and he says, you need to go and make disciples. And this idea here is as you go live your life, that you are called to live your life on mission. You and I have been called to live our life on mission, or in a missional way. And as we go to work, as we go to the store, as we go to school, hopefully in September, right? But as we go to hang out with our friends, as we go and live in our neighborhoods, he tells us that we need to make disciples. Hey, have you ever thought about this? That your job is actually just a venue. Your job is actually just a platform where you are called to live missionally and to live to make disciples. Your job
job and my job wherever we go, because Jesus says, as you go to Stop and Shop, as you go to put gas in your car, you are called to live on mission and to make disciples. But you say, Rick, what does make disciples actually mean? What make disciples actually means is that you are calling people to love God, that you are calling people to actually, and you are called to live out or demonstrate the love of God to other people. That's what he's calling you to do, that you are called to bring a message of hope, that is life transforming. When you're at work, you're called there to live on mission because you have a message of hope, because you are supposed to be demonstrating the love of God to the people in your office space, or the people in your school, or the people that you bump into that you're not supposed to bump into in Stop and Shop, right? You are called to give and deliver in word and in deed, in the way that you act, the way that you carry yourself, but also the words that come out of your mouth should be life-giving. And these life-giving words are that God loves you, that you matter, and that Jesus demonstrated that love for you when he laid down his life on the cross for you, to take all of your brokenness, to take all of our sin, and to bring healing. I was just reminded of that this past week. I sat down with a couple that's going to be getting married. And as I listened to their story, my heart broke, but then it rejoiced at the same time, because it was such a picture of God's redeeming love. It was such a picture of this message of hope. As I listened to this young man share his story of how he was in and out of foster home because of a broken home that he was growing up in, an alcoholic home that he was growing up in, as he shared with me how he was abused, as he shared with me how his front teeth were literally knocked out of him when he was 12 years old because of abuse in his home. And then now to see that 5 years ago that he had received a message of hope and that his life has been transformed, I could not help but actually, I started crying. When I was praying for this couple, I started weeping because I was overwhelmed by the picture of God's redeeming love and the way that he comes into somebody's life and he brings healing, he brings restoration, and that's what he wants to do in your life. And as I listened to the story of the person that he is marrying, and she was sharing her story, she had a great supportive Christian foundation, but somewhere she got off the road. She ended up in an abusive relationship and spent many, many, many months in this abusive relationship, and then ended up being sexually assaulted. And I thought, oh my God. And yet, what did that do? What God did in her? And she would share this story. If she was here, she would tell you that God is healing me. She knows that there is still brokenness. She knows that there still has to be more restoration that happens in her life. But they would both look at me and say, God is healing, and he's going to continue to heal, because that's what God does. And that's the message of hope that you and I are called to bring to our state of Rhode Island everywhere we go as we live on mission. And so wherever you're listening at, from, wherever, if you're listening in your home or if you're listening in your car, will you just pause long enough and ask yourself the question, have you actually received this gift of hope? Have you actually received the gift of Jesus? Have you received him? Have you invited him into your life to bring healing, to bring restoration, to bring a newness to your life, to bring healing to the brokenness that is there? If not today, this June the 7th of 2020 could be the day for you. It could be a life-changing day, a defining moment in your life on this day, if you would just take this next step. This next step says, I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. Would you do this? Would you take a ginormous step? Would you have the courage enough to take out your phone in front of whoever you're with and you text the word trust, T-R-U-S-T, text the word trust to 401-496-9710. And when you get that instant reply back, just click on that link and let us know who you are so that we can connect with you, so that we can give you a Bible so that we can help you to understand what it means to receive this message of hope for whatever brokenness that you're going through. But this, my friends, this church is what God has called us to live our life on mission is wherever we go, we need to bring this mission of hope. And by the way, this is why we believe in this so much around here that we send people globally. In fact, I hope that you'll come back tonight to our annual vision celebration, because tonight you'll hear how we've been able to add two new partners who are going globally. And one of those partners is in a place where we haven't sent anybody yet. And so we're so excited. I hope that you'll come back tonight. But this, and we do this because this is the mission that God has called us to live on. He's also told us to do this. Not only are we to go and deliver this message of hope, we're not just called to be a message of hope. We are also called to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that Jesus, and don't forget, these are Jesus's words. So he's like, here, you need to teach these new disciples to obey all my commands. And immediately my mind went to where Jesus was asked, which is the most important command? And Jesus looked at that guy and he says, the most important command is to love the Lord your God and to love him with all of your being. And then he said, you need to love your neighbor. And oh, how we need this today, how we need to call people to love God, and we need to call people to love those around you, love those people who are hard to love those people who have different political views than you have. We are all called to respond out of this command to love. Are you doing that? Are you teaching that? Are you being this message of hope that God has called us to be? And then we have this. This is life-giving. It's life-giving when you live your life on mission and you are actually being that message of hope and bringing hope to broken situations. But it's also life-giving to know this, that if you live on mission, watch this. Did you see this? Jesus said that he says, if you live your life on mission, he says, I'm always with you. Oh my gosh, who doesn't want Jesus to always be with you? And he says, as you live your life, you can count on it that I'll be with you. And he says, even to the end of the age, meaning for you and I, it means that when we breathe our last breath, we can count on it as we live our life on mission that Jesus will be with us. Have you ever wanted or wondered, maybe have you ever wondered, is Jesus actually with me? Well, maybe you need to back up and ask this question. Am I living my life on mission? And if you're living your life on mission, you can be confident. He says, you can be sure of this, that I will be with you always. These are life-giving words. Come on, church. I'm asking us to live our life on mission the way that Jesus has called us to live our life. This is why we have spelled out our mission, our particular mission here at this church, at CCF's church. Our mission is this: calling all people to love God, to follow Jesus, and to serve others. And here's what that means. Let's break this down. Calling all people to love God. To love God means that you are delivering that message of hope, both in your actions and also in your words, that you're actually calling them into that relationship with God. And they respond because they see something different in you and they want that in their life. And then it says to follow God. To love God is calling people into relationship. To follow Jesus is about discipleship. That's teaching these new people. It's teaching a people what it means to follow Jesus. It's growing in our faith. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen in to Steve Van Horn's conversation with Ryan Irving. And listen for this. Listen to the other people that have been involved in the discipleship process of Ryan.
Well, hey, I'm Steve, and I'm here with Ryan Irving, and we just wanted to talk a little bit as we focus on this idea of discipleship how God has used people and how he has brought Ryan along on his journey of faith. We were just chatting and saying it was about a year ago that Ryan shared just his excitement of starting this journey of faith and what it looks like to be in a church community like Cranston Christian Fellowship. And so I want to just turn it over to Ryan and let him answer a couple questions that we have related to this idea of discipleship. And so Ryan, the first question that I have for you is, you know, what, how have you seen God work in your life over this past year?
Definitely in tremendous ways. I mean, like you said, it's wild that a year has gone by. It was a year ago I've been able to share my story of coming into faith on stage at CCF at the Vision Celebration. And now to be able to share how it's worked more specifically in the day-to-day, I'm happy to do that. I think given obviously everything that's going on, God has certainly given me faith and confidence to get through each day. I think having to deal with the chaos, the uncertainty, the angst that's happening right now, without such strong faith, I really don't know how I'd be getting through this. And I feel like I've been able to manage things in a pretty calm manner, always trusting that's going to work out the best way it can, and that I'm going to have the tools necessary to face whatever comes my way. I strongly believe that at this point. And in terms of specifically related to the discipleship portion of this, you know, when I was originally coming to CCF, originally attracted to it, it was the community aspect that brought me in. It was seeing people, young people specifically, worship, seeing how into it they were. I was just called that community. I had been reading on my own a lot. I wanted to be connected to something bigger, and CCF provided that. Over the past year, though, getting plugged into a small group, meeting people on an individual level, having, you know, coffee set up with Justin to talk a little bit further about scripture, making friends in the community, and having individual time with people has really affirmed my understanding of the word, has kept me to be disciplined in reading regularly. It's been really beneficial to have questions answered that I have and have dialogue about the word on a regular basis.
Yeah, you mentioned some of those individual relationships. Can you share, and I know that you mentioned Justin, but and he's on staff, which is great, but it's mm-hmm. been more than just a staff relationship that's kind of shepherded you along on this journey, right?
Absolutely. So ton of praise to David Sargent. He's been integral in this journey for me. I look at him as kind of being my spiritual mentor over the past year. So he was a small group leader when we started, a role that I've since taken over since they've moved. But even upon moving, we're still actually have a call with him set up for that. I got off the phone with you today. We'll be talking today. But he's been awesome, like taking times. You know, he's got four children that he has to tend to, and he's still finding time. We would meet at like 5 o'clock in the morning at a coffee shop to talk just before our kids woke up. So we had plenty of time to meet, maybe six, I don't know, maybe we're giving too much credit, but we'd meet pretty early and talk. And on a regular basis, you know, we'll hop on the phone, we can dive into scripture. And we even went through the book, Growing Christ, together. And that was really helpful to have, you know, the conversation led with that content. And yeah, you know, holding me accountable, checking in, we'll talk about things that we want to get done week to week. And it's just been a tremendous and fruitful relationship that I'm super thankful for. And then more recently, obviously, Stephen Miller and Mark Wilcox have been awesome. You know, those guys are meeting at 5 a.m. and we're going into scripture, and they're just so charged up and excited about the word. And they're, you know, just doing that on their own because they want to learn more. And it's been amazing to plug in with those guys and to share my insight, but also to learn a ton from them. And it keeps you disciplined too, because we are meeting every week. You want to come to the table with something to offer. So now I want to make sure I'm doing my reading daily, so I have an understanding of what they talked about, or maybe they shed some light on something I was unfamiliar with, and now I'm going back and diving in to learn more about it. So it's just been so fruitful to have these relationships and people around me who want to grow in Christ as well, and who want to learn more, and who are willing to share that knowledge.
Yeah, man, thanks so much for sharing that. I know that it's an ongoing process, and the cool thing is you mentioned it's a give and take relationship. So you're bringing stuff to the table, these guys are bringing stuff to the table, and you're just walking through life together and seeing how Jesus intersects that just where you are in this moment and is growing you along the way. So that's so cool.
One more thing I want to say, just to speak to everyone I've interacted with, those guys specifically, there's more, and you know, anybody I left off, I apologize for, but everyone's openness to have conversation. right? It's never been like, oh, you're not understanding it, so I don't want to hear that. It's always like, oh, I haven't thought of it this way. Let's dive into that. How did you reach the understanding? Like, these are very, again, fruitful is the word that keeps coming to mind, but extremely fruitful conversations because they are going both ways. You know, I look at it like I'm still obviously learning, growing, and trying to gain more and more knowledge. But even with certain things I see differently or just have a curiosity around, everyone's always open to explore that. And I'm very, very appreciative of that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that you've been involved in some of the men's studies that we've done in the past and how that's impacted you, not only as an individual, but as a husband and as a father. And so hopefully we'll just continue to get to walk out this journey of faith together even more down the road. So thank you so much, Ryan. I really appreciate just you sharing all of that with us.
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you, man.
All right.
Isn't that amazing to hear how many different people it takes to help somebody grow in discipleship? That was such an encouraging story, and we are so encouraged that the heroes in that story are other people like you in our church, pouring into the life of somebody who showed up and was wondering about their whole life, their spiritual journey, and how do I get more out of this spiritual life? How do I grow? How do I understand who is Jesus? And if you come back tonight to the annual vision celebration, you'll hear other stories and the way that that is being played out as well. But let's go back to our mission, because there's one other thing that we need to look at, and that's to serve others. That's called servantship. And in case you think I made that word up, I didn't. Google it right now. Take the time and Google it. I didn't make that up. So we are called. Jesus has called us. He's made this so clear in Mark 10:45 when he washed the feet of the disciples' feet, and then he would look at them and he would say, for even I, meaning the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, for even Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus lived from this posture of servantship, and that's one reason I love our church. I love the fact that we have this posture towards our state that we're for Rhode Island. I love that our heart, and we're for Rhode Island because God is for them, and he demonstrated that by laying down his life. And you know what? We open up doors as we serve other people. That's why we're here in Cranston serving our city. And you know how we've served Stadium Elementary School, and just recently we were able to show that we love that school, that we appreciate them by sending a coffee truck to show up on their teacher's last day. The teacher's last day is they would go in and clean out their classroom. We sent a coffee truck out to that school and just said, hey, thank you for what you're doing. And then for our local PD, they haven't been doing roll call, everybody coming in to the building since the whole COVID thing, but their first day back, their first Friday back, you know what we did? We went to a local bakery to support a local bakery. We bought all kinds of pastries. We went to a local cafe and bought coffee from them. And then we had it all delivered. We sent it to the local PD at 6:30 in the morning for a roll call just to say thank you to the Cranston PD for the way that they serve. Why? Because we want our city to know that we're here to serve them. And what I'm excited about this, church, we get to do this again. We want to continue to show up, and you know this. This is part of our vision, to continue to replicate ourselves, right? Well, we're going to do that, and we're going to continue to do that in Coventry. And you know, we're praying that God would lead us someplace south, possibly along that 95 corridor, where we would be able to set up a physical address and from there be able to serve the town of Coventry and those other little towns that are all spread out in that area of Rhode Island. But not only that, what we're calling the whole church, this is what I'm really excited about, because we have been praying for the town of Johnson, and we've been asking the question, how can we serve the town of Johnson? Because if we're going to take 100 people out of here to go help us start Coventry, then that means we need to make sure that we're continuing our reach where we're at. And we're thinking Johnson's like a block that way, right? And so we want to say, Johnson, we actually called the mayor's office and and said, "Hey, Mayor, how can we serve your town?" And he said, "Well, there's an organization that's called Operation Stand Down. And what their biggest need right now is just food. Because of the whole COVID situation, organizations haven't gathered to be able to support them and donate food for their food pantry. This Operation Stand Down serves vets, not just in the town of Johnston, but it serves vets all across the state of Rhode Island. It serves them with housing. It serves them with medical help. And it also serves them with legal services. And so we were able to call Operation Stand Down. We told them who we are. We told them why we called, because the mayor of Johnson told us that we should help them out. And so when we told them what we wanted to do, they were like, "That is our biggest need right now." Because of COVID, they have been having to do their whole food pantry differently. And what they've been having to do is create these boxes, and then they send vets will come in and pick up these boxes of food. So here's what I was telling that executive director. I said, "Hey, what would wow, this would be an amazing moment for you if our church could surround it." You know what he said? One of those wow moments was if we could show up with 100 boxes. When I hung up the phone, I thought, "Challenge on, baby. We're not going to do 100. We're going to do 200 because I know you guys. I know our church." And so on Serve Day, we're going to serve the town of Johnston through this organization called Operation Stand Down. It's on Saturday, June the 27th, and we are going to create 200 food boxes. We're going to ask you to all come through here, through our parking lot, unload all of your groceries, your trunk loads of groceries, so that we can create 200 boxes and then take them to the headquarters in Johnston of Operation Stand Down. You are going to get an email with the very specific items that go into this box and of how many go into these boxes. So this means that you actually have to go to Walmart or BJ's or wherever you shop. You actually have to go there. You cannot look through your cabinets and think, "Oh, I don't like that food anymore," and put it and give it away. No, 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 no. You have a list. You've got a shopping list, and whatever is on that shopping list, it will be emailed out to you. Or if you want it, make sure that we have your email address. Fill out that connection card. Give us your email address, and we will make sure that you have a shopping list so that you can show up on this Saturday morning on June the 27th so that we can get these 200 boxes. And we are going to serve the town of Johnson. And I like to think of it this way. These boxes are boxes of hope. We're going to bring hope to those vets. And with that, we're going to look for every opportunity to actually speak a message of hope, to speak words of hope, and to let them know how much they matter to God. Won't you be a part of that? I hope that you will. You say, "How are we going to do this?" Well, here's how Luke records what Peter remembers of Jesus' last words. So Luke writes, he's the author of Acts. And he's getting all his information from Peter, again, another eyewitness. And here's what he remembers that Jesus told us just before Jesus ascended. He says, "Jesus told us to go into Jerusalem, and you need to wait there. And here's what you need to wait for: until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "And then you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." Remember who's saying this? These are Jesus's last words. They are life-giving words. And he's saying that if we can allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, you can live your life on mission when you're at work. You can live your life on mission when you're hanging out with your friends. You can live your life on mission in your neighborhood as you live out this message of hope, as you are a person who's bringing hope to desperate situations. We do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, when we live like this, when we live under the power of the Holy Spirit, when we live our life on mission, knowing that Jesus is with us, this is when this is going to happen. Then we're going to radically change the spiritual climate of Rhode Island, one person, one community at a time. Can't you see that? Can't you see us getting to that tipping point? Can't you see us getting to that 10,000 point mark where somebody, that 10,000th person has given their life to Jesus, and now that's the tipping point that the revivalists of old say that you need. If you're going to reach a city, then you need to reach at least a percentage of that, of 10% of that city, 10% of our state. Our vision is for our state. 10% of our vision is we're talking about 100,000 people. Can't you see that happening as we have this population of 1.1 million people, and then we see 100,000 people come to Christ? How are we going to see that happen? We are going to see that happen when you and I live our life on mission. And that's why our bottom line today is living on mission is life-giving for all. As I close out this morning, I want you to hear the words of the last sermon of Dr. Martin Luther King. It was given on April the 3rd, 1968. It was a Wednesday. And there he is, standing before a packed room, delivering his message of "I've been to the mountaintop." And in this sermon, he sets it up. He invites the crowd there to imagine with him that God Almighty brings him back to the beginning of time. And Dr. King will start to go through periods of history. And here was the question that he would say, that what if God Almighty would ask me this question, Martin Luther King, which time period would you want to live in? And Dr. King would start with Exodus and the idea of Egypt and the idea of the Red Sea crossing, and then move into the Promised Land. And at each one of these points in history, he would say, "No, I wouldn't ask." He would say, "No, I wouldn't want to live in that time period." And then he would fast forward. He would fast forward into the time when the Roman Empire was large and in charge. And he would say, "No, I wouldn't want to live in that time period." He would move fast forward into the time of the Reformation, when Martin Luther would nail the 95 theses on that door, and he would answer God Almighty. He would say with this phrase, "No, but I wouldn't stop there." But he would fast forward to President Abraham Lincoln, and he would say, "No, I wouldn't stop in that time period." And but here is where now I quote from his sermon, "I've been to the mountaintop. But I wouldn't stop there, strangely enough. I would turn to the Almighty and say, 'If you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy.'" The second half of the 20th century was the time period he was actually living in. He says, now that's a strange statement to make, because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion all around. That's a strange statement. But then he says this. He says, "But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. And I see God working in this period of the 20th century in a way that men, in some strange way, are responding to something that is happening in this world." How appropriate for our time period. How appropriate to be able to think that we could be these bright, shining stars shining in this dark time, that men and women, that kids would respond to the light that they see you and I living on mission. Dr. King ended that sermon with this, and I quote, he says, "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. and he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. And I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I am happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. He says, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I wonder about you. Have you seen it? Have you been to the mountaintop? I invite you to come to the mountaintop with me and just peer over and think about what God can do in the state of Rhode Island. What if God could have us rebound our economic state in such a way that we set the standard for the rest of the country? What if a spiritual awakening happens in the state of Rhode Island and people give their life to Jesus one after the other until we reach that tipping point, until we see 100,000 Christ followers throughout our entire state? What would that look like? Can you see it? I can see it. If you and I would live our life on mission filled with the Spirit of God, we could see this happen. The way that Dr. King closed out that sermon with that quote from that old spiritual hymn, mine eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. I've asked the band to actually come and lead us in this song. And here's what I want you to pay attention to. In that song, I want you to pay attention to the line that we will sing. And it says that he died, meaning Jesus. Jesus died to make men holy. So let us live to make men free. Will you sing that out like you mean it this morning?
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born.
That old spiritual hymn spoke to you. I want to close out with this next step. And this is for every Christ follower who's listening. For every one of you, we all need to be committed to this. If we're ever going to see the spiritual climate of Rhode Island change, one person, one community at a time, it's going to be because you and I have committed to making a difference. It's going to be because you and I have committed to living on mission, carrying a mission of hope wherever we go, even in the darkest of times, like we are right now. And so the next step reads this. It says, I pray I will live my life on mission by demonstrating the love of Christ, the love of Jesus. Will you demonstrate the love of Jesus wherever you go? Will you, and that means living your life on mission. Will you do that? Will you let us know? Will you let us know that you're in? You'd say, Rick, I am in on this mission. We want to see a difference made here in our state. In fact, we just don't want to see it. We want to be a part of it. I'm inviting you, come and be a part of it. I'm inviting you to come on up and look over the mountain and see what God is doing. We want to pray. We want to pray for you. We want to know that you're in on this. So will you take the time to fill out that connection card? Or will you just take the time to text that word pray? If you text the word pray and tell us how that you tell us that you're all in on this, and we will be praying for you this coming week. We have a great church, and God's doing some great things here. And I couldn't be more excited seeing what God is doing. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we are asking you to continue to do a work that is supernatural. There's no way we could see the spiritual climate of Rhode Island change in our own power. And that's why we're looking to you. And we know that you can change it. We know that you can radically change the spiritual climate as we live our life on mission. And so, Father, I pray that you would help each one of us who say that we are Christ followers. May we live our life on mission, understanding that living on mission is life-giving for all. Jesus, will you help us to live in this way? And we pray this in your powerful name. Come and do your powerful work because it's all about you and your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.